Podcast. Time for the MIP. The Michael Irvin Podcast.
Folks, it is week 12 in the National Football League. Let me start the MIP off with Happy Thanksgiving to all. Happy Thanksgiving to all. Thanksgiving is always such a great time of the year because we get that triple blessing of food, football, and family. You know, I call that a triple blessing. You get the food, football, and family all together on that one day. I was talking about this the other day, Sean. You know, I was like, okay, I got to make sure I get my workout in. And then what I did, I just said, stop working out around Thanksgiving. Just stop. Well, you know, I eat and go work out, eat and go work. I mean, just stop. You're just going, whatever you're putting, whatever you do, you go. So that Wednesday, Thursday, I'll get back to working out Friday. But that Wednesday and Thursday, shut her down on the workouts. Only work out the jaws, the teeth, and the tongue. Just swallow in the stomach. That's it. I'm going to work those things out for 2 days. That's what I worked out. I've been eating everything, man. I love it. I just love it. And I've been able to watch some very good football. And I want to talk about it because we know Cowboys play. I know the Lions play. This year we got a night game between the Vikings and the Pats. But that Thanksgiving Day game, we always looked at this when I played as an 11-day stretch. You know, you go Sunday, Thursday. You have three games in that 11-day stretch, Sunday, Thursday. Cowboys went Packers, Vikings, Giants, Sunday, Thursday. And I must admit, I was so disappointed at the start of that game Thursday against the Giants. I was like, man, this is not what I intended, nor what I wanted for the Cowboys. After almost a perfect game plan on Sunday, I wanted to see you come out and take a hold of this, take possession of this, and just stomp out the Giants. But I thought about this a little farther, and I said, well, it's an 11-day stretch. It's that 11-day stretch. And it's hard to stomp out everybody in 11 days when you play three teams like the Dallas Cowboys have played. And it usually works like that. That Thursday game, it starts a little slow because you're still trying. You just played two games in 10 days. Now you're playing this third game, and you're trying to start. You start a little slow. It usually happened that way. The Cowboys started a little slow, but they caught back up, and they got back on track, and that was nice to see. It was beautiful to see because now it says, yes, you do have some fight. You do have some grit, and hopefully they're saying, we are pretty good. We are pretty good. I think we're watching the hatching of a number one. CD has truly come into being a number one receiver. Now, yeah, he's not putting up the 180, 190 yards, but some of the catches this dude is making are pretty incredible. Even the non-catch the other night for the touchdown, that was a pretty incredible non-catch, and he's making some plays, so I'm so happy for him. And one thing people got to understand, and I've said it before, it's so hard to transition from a number two receiver to being the number one receiver when you lose the number one quarterback and have to do it with your number two quarterback. Those are the realities, and CeeDee Lamb, I believe, has accomplished that. So I want to give kudos to him, and I want to give kudos to Michael Gallup and where he's stepping out and stepping in his own now. But I'm not buying that mess that Stephen A. tried to spew to me. Well, what about you get Michael Gallup? You worry about Michael Gallup? You don't worry about Michael Gallup if you get Odell Beckham Jr.? I say no, because Michael Gallup and everybody else knows, just like we knew when Deion and I started talking about him coming to play here. Listen, we want to win championships. Michael Gallup, CeeDee Lamb, and Odell Beckham Jr. could be a great match for the Dallas Cowboys. And I said this, Stephen, and I'm going to say it here. You talk about, I still believe we can win a Super Bowl without Odell. But I do believe with Odell, you got a shot at winning more than one Super Bowl. And that's really, if you get an opportunity, you want a chance to do, is to win more than one Super Bowl. And Odell Beckham Jr. will give you that. That's why I'm out there doing my job on the recruiting tip. Man, Odell, can you imagine? Man, you have this kind of game in Dallas. You always do this kind of game. You have great games in Dallas. Dude, imagine if you had 8 of those a year or 9 of those a year, all right there at AT&T Stadium. You talking about eyeballs on you. You talking about raising up your Q number, all that Q stuff and those Q scores, all of that popularity stuff that Odell Beckham Jr. was big on it, big at. Trust me, it is big. The Dallas Cowboys can shine a bright light on you, brighter than any light you've ever had, Odell. You know you work best with a bright light shine, don't you? For everybody to see. And there is no one with a bigger, brighter light than the Dallas Cowboys. Stop playing, man. Let's put this perfect marriage together. And then let's go make some beautiful kids called Lombardi Trophies. That's what we're trying to do, buddy. Come on, let's stop playing, man. Let's stop messing around. That was my public tour. Now, I will be texting him and calling him and doing my private thing, too, because I just want to see. I just want to see what it'll be if we ever got that beast over here, too. You know what I'm saying? That beast over here also. Everybody will be talking about that for the next few weeks until he gets, until he makes up his mind and signs with somebody. So we will be watching, or we will keep trying to get Odell right here on the MIP so you can hear for yourself. Speaking of hearing it for yourself, man, I can't tell you how much I love talking to this dude that I'm about to talk to. He's such a gifted and talented young man, and he's done so many things at so many levels. And I get to watch him and even work with him some over at ESPN. He has honed his craft. Had a great career in football, and he's going to have a great career in broadcasting. Joining the MIP, Marcus Spears, next. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com. Joining the MIP, this man like me, and I always say I got to work for 3 great franchises, and so will this man be able to say he has some great franchises in his journey. He started at LSU, then went to the Dallas Cowboys, and now with ESPN. Those are 3 damn good franchises, if you're going to say so. You know what I'm saying? Joining the MIP, my man, my teammate over at ESPN, Marcus Spears. Marcus, man, thanks for taking the time, man. I can't tell you how I've been looking forward to just breaking it down with you and chatting.
You know it, Irv. You know it, man. You know this is an honor for me, brother. One of the legends in the game. Feel honored for you to have me on the podcast. But more importantly, I'm glad we was able to make this thing happen, man. I know we've been talking for a minute. And your schedule is nuts, just like mine. So I'm glad we can get together, man.
Hey, Rock, but hey, I'm so thankful that God gave me a schedule. Because that's what I tell young football players, listen, man, start learning how to schedule yourself up for after your career right now. Start doing it right now. Don't wait. Do it right now. You know what I'm saying? I try to tell them that. And did you get a chance to do that, Marcus, while you were playing? Were you setting yourself up for this career you have right now?
Well, you know, we have a distinct advantage playing in Dallas, man. Yeah. We got media availability every day. And then, too, like, you guys set a standard where everybody was going to pay attention to the Dallas Cowboys. And it didn't matter. And this is the thing that I love, Irv, about my career. It didn't matter. I made no Pro Bowls. I wasn't an All-Pro. I won't have a gold jacket. But I had on-the-job training for how to handle adversity. Had to stand up in that locker room after losses. Had to stand there when we were having good times. And then all of the connections that you make. I tell people all the time, man, make no mistake about it. The career that I'm in now is directly tied to LSU, but more importantly, that star that I wore on the side of my helmet. We know what type of value that carries, the weight that that carries, especially in the business that we in now. And obviously, you got to have talent with that. But the career was being thought of when I was at LSU. One of my teachers, one of my professors at LSU told me, they said, really, as an athlete, as a professional athlete, because everybody knew I wanted to go to the NFL, they said, the only way people going to know you is through the media. So how do you want to be perceived? And then at some point, you may want to go out and do that. And it was always my goal, or to be honest with you, to go to be in television or to be on radio or in media some capacity. So it's working out, man. And you know this as well as me. Most of the time, if you just go on there and you know your stuff and you have a good damn time, right. People going to gravitate to you.
Right. But don't underestimate that last part you said. Have a good damn time.
Have a good time.
I said, listen, dude, people going to sit down and watch you. They're going to watch you for an hour, 2 hours, whatever. They don't want to watch your misery. They're sitting down to get away from their misery. So don't be miserable on this TV. Because then they're going to be like, wait a minute. I got this in my own life. I don't need you to bring me in.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's why I love watching you guys, man. You guys, you do such a great job. Everything you do, you really do. Because you also make it fun and keep making it fun. And I want to talk some more about that after I get to you about this Thanksgiving Day, Marcus. I wanted to bring you on especially around Thanksgiving. Because we got to play on every Thanksgiving Day game. You know, we played for the Cowboys, and you know that. So what was that like? First of all, how was your Thanksgiving with your family yesterday? And then talk to me about your fondest Thanksgiving Day memory.
Man, Thanksgiving was great, bro. We had about 20 people yesterday. You know, they cook good, and you know, I just ate good. Right. And you know me, I like to cook, man. So I was out there on the grill. I put some fish down in the grease. And
why y'all big fellas always think y'all can cook?
Herb, you know we don't get like this just by accident. And you got to know how to feed yourself at some point, man. But now we had a good time, bro. It was a good time. I love being around a lot of family on holidays. So we kicked it, man. We kicked it. And then you know what happened next, man. We made them plates and that damn football came on. Yeah. And once that football come on TV, it ain't much going on around you. Ain't no peripheral vision. I'm looking at the two, but phenomenal, dude. We ate good. Everybody kind of reconnected and got back, you know, centered. And that's what I tell people about my family, man. Like, when we all get together, it's for everybody to get centered. Like, or we on plane, you and me, we on planes every week.
Right.
We traveling. We got all of this stuff that come in the way of that really important stuff. So the holidays, more importantly, they just bring me back to center, man. I was around my people. I'm talking to people that knew me since I was 5 and 6 years old. You know, it's good when the aunties kissing you and they telling you they proud of you. Your grandfather would be proud of you, you know? So yeah, man, it was a good time. And then that football came on.
Yeah. Y'all do like we do. I had about 25 people here too.
Yeah.
Every year we'll get around, we'll all hold hands and I'll start. We got to go around the old circle. Everybody has to say what they're most thankful for, you know, and then it'll come to me and I'll say what I'm most thankful for and then pray over the meal and we sit down and eat. Now, I'm not the oldest. I got brothers and sisters much older than me, but, you know, Marcus, it's in my house and I'm paying for everything. So I got to, you know how that goes.
We a part of that club.
But what you said, though, Marcus, is the best thing out of all of it. When you see your old aunts and your moms or your grandmas, mother-in-law, and they be like, child, you know, that's a child. God always told me you're going to be doing these great things. That's what they say. You hear that every time. Child, God always told me you
were.
Yeah. You know, baby. You know what I'm saying? I know you had to hear that a lot.
You know it.
That's all they'll tell
you. You know it. I got a praying. I had a praying grandmother and a praying grandfather and the aunties, and they still be trying to put hands on you, literally hands on you before I leave.
Right. I tell my mom. I said, baby. She said, baby, I told you, I be staying. You be up there preaching. I said, baby, the best I can give you is preaching on this stage. I may be able to talk the talk, but I just walk in that walk as a real preacher, going to be a whole different thing for me. So let me just do it this way. You know, she said, God, you get God's word out.
But yes, indeed.
It's always good having them, Marcus. You know, and I always say this, Marcus, things are going to always work out. Because I truly believe, for me, I truly believe, and I make no bones about this, I take care of mine, especially my older ones that I know been standing in that prayer room for me.
Man.
I take care of him. I'm going to get it. If you two house me out, I'm going to take care of it. And I always say, I'm going to be good because God knows if he can get it through me, he'll give it to me. I'm going to give it to them.
Yes,
they don't want praying like that.
Yes,
let's stop playing. And if you cheat them, he going to cheat you.
He going to cheat you.
That's my
cheat you. And Irv, you know what, man? I'm glad you said, dude, we ain't here because of us.
Right. You know that.
Tell people that all the time, man. My mama, the sacrifices, my daddy, my grandparents, the sacrifice. I'm a collection of the people that believed in me, bro. This ain't like, we on the national stage and people know us and we get celebrated on things that we do. But more importantly, I'm a makeup of all the people that raised me, bro. And I never forget that. That's why I can handle playing in Dallas. I can handle playing on the world stage. Because at the end of the day, and I tell my wife now, man, I'm married, 3 kids, and my mom lives with us as well. When I come in this house, I only care about 5 people's opinion.
Right.
I ain't worried about all the other stuff.
Mike, you didn't even have to tell me that, too, that your mom will live with. You know what I mean? I knew that, man. I knew,
man.
Like, even when we built our house, we built quarters for my mom and my mother-in-law, all quarters. Now, I tweeted the other day that I was going to see my mom, but it's really my mother-in-law.
She's
in the hospital now. Really my mother-in-law. But I'm going to tell you something, Marcus. She and I are so close.
Mm-hmm.
My mother-in-law and my mom and my wife were so close. Which way to make it? Let me tell you how close my, and I ain't never really tell you about it, but my mother-in-law, Marcus, when I was out there bad, man, out there bad, she was the one that would put me back together. I'm out all night. It's her daughter I'm married to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But see, I come in all night. She said, baby, listen, this ain't any devil just trying to get us. Let's pray. Don't worry about that. I'm going to get some food in you, get some sleep. We're going to get you back up. We're going to pray some more. We're going to get you on your feet, baby. And she would always say to me, ain't nobody going nowhere. God told her we're going to be right here.
Right here.
You know, taking care of you. And man, I'll get emotional talking about that. That's my mother-in-law.
I'm telling y'all
right now, I'm going to take care for as long as boy, she ain't never got to worry about nothing.
Them ordained relationships, bro. You equally yoke. And who, ain't nobody, I know mine knew I was going to mess up a lot.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I had her people supporting me. My people supporting me. My wife lost her mom at 13. Her grandparents raised her. So she had that old wisdom.
Right.
Grandparents was married 70 plus years. My wife told me, she said, boy, I married you because I knew what you could be, not because of what you are right now.
Right. Thank God for that.
Boy. And I'm telling you, man, and I'm still there, man. I'm still working on it. But I tell you, man, through these years, I've been married 16 years now. And through these years, man, I just realized, like, you better have it right there if you plan on doing anything great.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. And they got to be strong.
You got to have an anchor. You got to have. I tell dudes when they get married, I said, dude, you're the best thing happening for you, buddy. You're getting the anchor. We need something to say, bring your butt home and focus. Butt home and focus. It was just, oof. It was hard.
We were talking about this for 3 hours.
Right. It was different, man. Let's talk some football. I talk to you all day about this stuff, Margaret.
Yes, sir.
I knew because you come from the same club. And I'm going to tell you something else I know. When I saw it, I said, I knew I loved this Joker. This joke on March Pisces.
Yes, sir.
On there. March 8th. I'm born March 5th. March Pisces, different dude. They're just different dudes, man. I said March Pisces. That's why I love to do. Give me your greatest Thanksgiving Day memory. Let's get into some football.
Ooh,
a plan on Thanksgiving. Give me your greatest Thanksgiving Day memory.
I think one time, we had, I think it was Philly or Dallas. I mean, or New York on Thanksgiving. And we weren't favored. I can't remember the year, but McNabb was still there and Philly was playing well. And it was all on us. It was all on the defense. We knew our offense could score. They were elite and putting points on the board. And McNabb and Westbrook, them boys was rolling. You hear me?
Rolling.
And you know too. Like a lot of people get excited that we play on Thanksgiving, but most of the time our Thanksgiving games are vital to what we gonna do going forward. So this was damn near a playoff atmosphere,
right?
Right.
Right.
And man, we get Westbrook, and I'm telling you, man, Westbrook ran that damn zone, and saw a crease, that sucker was out of there. I think we only gave up like 36 yards to him. Now you know that was me. I was a run defender.
Right.
And I think we gave up like 36 yards that game. And at the end of the game, that was the first time Parcells said, he said, man, y'all graduated from puppies. Y'all real live dogs now. Mm. And I remember that. I remember when he said that, dude, it was like a weight lifted off. Because I came in with me, Chris Canty, J-Ratliff, DeMarcus Ware. Like, we had a nucleus for a defense that was supposed to be dominant for a long time. And, man, he took them damn reins off, dog. Next year, we was 13-3. The year after that, we was 11-5, and we was rolling. I'm talking about them young pups had grown up in the dog. But that Thanksgiving game was kind of like the line of demarcation when he told us. He said, y'all finally earned to be some real dogs. Y'all ain't puppies no more.
Yeah, and couldn't hear that come from Bill Parcells, who, man, come on, man.
You know, them compliments was hard to come by.
Right, hard to come by.
Yeah.
And when you talk about on his tree, the greatest Bill Belichick, that's off his tree.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So absolutely. You just know. You know where daddy is right there. And Bill stood for something, man. So when he said that, I'm sure so much pride came to you.
Yeah, man.
If I got Bill, I can get some people around here in this league. I can play for a long time, man.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's a great memory. That's a great memory, man. Let me ask this, though. Those games you watched yesterday, what stuck out in your mind about those games? And take me through one. Go Detroit Bills. Start there, Detroit Bills, before you go to Cowboys Giants.
In the Bills game, first of all, man, you got to be heartbroken for Detroit. The way they done lost games this year, playing and competing at a high level like they have, physical running football team. But Josh Allen delivered and didn't turn the football over. And Stephon Diggs said, it's my time now. And you know this is better as well as anybody. If you're going to be a championship club, especially when you start talking about, I watched all in the 90s, Herb. When it was time to make a play, literally your name became playmaker. But I got to get the ball. I'm going to be the guy. So when I saw Josh Allen that last possession before they went down to get that field goal, and he hung that thing over the middle,
boy,
like that thing came out of a jugs machine, and it was Diggs on the other end. I said, they finally getting back to players over plays.
Right, right, right.
Like,
go ahead on speak that. You
players
said.
Over plays. And look, the championship runs that y'all had, the championship runs that we've seen the last few years, it's players over plays. You can have the greatest play caller, but if Pat Mahomes ain't going to buy some time and hang that thing down there to Tyreek Hill, if Matt Stafford ain't going to have Odell Beckham Jr. and Cooper Kupp out there going crazy, making plays. If Aaron Donald ain't going to get to the quarterback at the end of games, it's players over plays in those games. So I think Buffalo, I think a little bit, Irv, I said this last week, I think they start buying the hype a little bit. I think in their mind, they start kind of believing that, you know, we are this, so we supposed to just cruise through this. And then when we get to the playoffs, man, this league hard. You tell people all the time, week to week. And I try to, like that Buffalo-Detroit game, I tell people, man, And it sounds crazy to people. The difference between 15-1 and 1-15 in the NFL
is so tiny. It's so tiny. You better tell these jokers, boy. Hey, boy,
dude, anybody can be beat. Right. And then when it comes to Dallas, Irv, I think Kellen Moore, the most important person in that building when it comes to what Dallas can actually do. We have all these conversations about Dak. Is Dak good or not? Man, Dak is a good quarterback. You can win a championship with Dak. We look around this team. You had a young offensive line coming into the season that's starting to gel. The penalties still worry me. But more importantly, you win a game against the Giants with two interceptions. You have a chance to beat Green Bay a couple weeks ago with two interceptions. So the elimination of them mistakes, you're gonna make some. This the league. The ones on the other side of the line of scrimmage getting paid too.
Right.
They getting paid to play at a very high level too. But what I saw them do against Minnesota and what I saw them against the Giants in what could have been a bad situation with them turnovers, this team is really primed to have some success when they get to the postseason. Now, here it is, Irv. Kellen Moore can't get stupid, right? Last year, we 12-4 last year, and then we get down towards the end of the season, we start wanting to throw the ball all over the yard.
Right.
That ain't us. It ain't us. Right. This team thrives on getting the ball in playmakers' hands and allowing Dak to push that ball downfield when it's right. And that's what I saw yesterday. I saw the most impressive thing I saw from Dallas is a poised team in the middle of adversity.
Yeah, me too.
That's what I saw. And I think that's what you got to carry, man. Because, look, when you play the 49ers in the playoffs, it's going to be a lot of adversity.
Right.
When you play – if you got to see Minnesota again, it ain't going to be 40-3. So that's what I saw yesterday, man.
I want to see them back up almost that perfect game against Minnesota. We're the perfect game. But Mark, the more and more I thought about it, because I started talking about, wait a minute, you played in these Thanksgiving games. Wait a minute, Joker. You remember what we used to say? Dude, that's three games in 11 days.
In 11 days.
That's three games. Yeah. That might have been unrealistic of me to expect them on the third game in 11 days
to play like they did.
You know what I'm saying? And that's how I said, okay, okay. But I wanted to see that you had that fight in the end.
100%.
You're right, and they came back. But I also wanted to give – I thought the Giants deserved some credit, man. They showed up to play. You know, they had their backs against the wall. You talked about Detroit, man. Talking Detroit and how hard they're fighting. The Giants, they're fighting hard. Those some teams in there with new coaches, that's doing pretty good.
And Minnesota needed that win last night, man.
Big time.
They needed that bag coming off of what they came off of. And, too, Irv, I like what you said about the Giants, man. Here's what I think Dallas is going to have to continue to stay aggressive because they bowl a hell of a coach. And you better good thing we got them twice this year, and we got to start focusing on making sure that this division don't become out of reach when it comes to talent. Cause you see what everybody doing in this conference.
Right.
I mean, in this division. So Dallas right now is in a luxury spot because they have the best quarterback in the division, and they've actually experienced winning more than everybody else, right? You think about Daniel Jones. I know Jalen Hurts in Philly is tough. That's a veteran-laden team. New York don't have the personnel right now to have staying power, right? I think they got a coach and the infrastructure is in place. Dallas right now is in a critical time from a franchise standpoint. Between Jerry and Steven and Will McClay, got to stay aggressive, bro. You got to keep bringing players in here. You got to keep developing. The one thing Dallas doesn't get enough credit for is they developed a lot of this young talent. I love like OBJ, getting OBJ. But if he ain't healthy, it don't matter, right? But we need to stay aggressive in finding them pieces that fit, man, because it is going to be a division – like for the next 2 or 3 years, that's going to be full of young pups that's growing up. And we got to make sure we stay ahead of that race.
Yeah. And they were talking about, Because I talked about when Philly got Sue, I was like, whoa, what's going on over here? I mean, you saw results in that right away. Like, why y'all didn't do something?
Why y'all ain't calling him?
What's going on with that? But that's what you mean, though. You got to stay stride for stride now with everybody rolling out there, man. And let me ask this, though, man. What you seen with the Pats, too? Because, you know, a lot of talk about Mac Jones right now.
Yeah.
He played much better. I thought he's starting to turn the corner and play better after what they put him through in New England with Josh McDaniel leaving. Yeah, right. What do you see happening with Mac now?
Irv, it's a hard one with me on Mac, bro, because if Mac, I think Mac is fine. Let me say that first. Mm. But, man, when we start having conversations about, like, quarterbacks in the AFC, dog, you got Patrick Mahomes. You got Josh Allen. You got Justin Herbert, who I think is a better quarterback. He's had some injuries to his staff. Yeah. You got Tua and what he doing with Tyreek and Jalen Waddle. I don't see the line of old school football having the type of hold that Belichick was able to have with Tom Brady and being able to beat these dudes for anything significant, right? And think about this, Irv. What if the Jets get their quarterback situation right? Mm. The Jets right now, down throughout their roster, are a better team than the New England Patriots, right? They just don't have that one position that's going to determine the difference when you need to make a play at the end of the game. I like Mac. I think Mac is a solid quarterback. I think Mac's ceiling is Kirk Cousins. Mm. That's what I think his ceiling is. He's a precision passer, an accurate passer, limited athletically. And that's why, Irv, I was losing my mind when people was talking about San Francisco was going to take him third overall. I didn't see the level of, I'm going to lift you above what you are based on my talent and my skill set. I just didn't see it. But I think New England and with Bill, they want to stay in that vein of don't turn the football over. Let's grind this thing out for four quarters and see if we can make plays at the end of games. And if you got Mac as a quarterback, that's very feasible because he's not going to take many chances and turn the football over at a high clip. So you have a chance late in games like they had against the Jets where they returned the punt. A punt to win the game at the end of the game.
It was just a phenomenal, phenomenal game, man.
Yeah.
Win this game on a punt return after my defense and I held these jokers 3 points. Dude, Swaggoo, I try to tell these people, y'all know certain games come about that it's bigger than the scoreboard.
Yes.
That was a check your gut, check your man game for the Jets. I knew if they lose that game, turmoil was going to be on the other side.
Downhill.
You knew that. Because what I said Patriots are trying to do now is trying to cast that whole spell they had over the Jets for the last 10 years over all this new young talent. Sauce Gardner, the Breeze Hall, who don't even know that stuff. That's why that fight was so big. And then your boy to get up there and not say what he needed to say. What were your thoughts on that when he didn't take full responsibility?
It just seemed so arrogant to me. One, because you know this better than anybody, being the type of player you were. Man, you got to earn the right to say whatever you want to say.
Right.
When you get up there on that podium, you better have put some type. You better have put so much work in before you respond like that, that people don't even think about it. They say Irv right, and we need to get better.
Right.
But Zach Wilson ain't earned that yet. And then when we looking at the actual game where you had negative 33 yards in the second half and you the starting quarterback for a team that your defense held to 3 points the entire game. And for you to say you didn't feel like you let anybody down. So who the hell let them down?
Right.
And my thing is this too, Irv, you know that New York market, it'll eat you up.
Eat you up.
This kid came from BYU, right? Very, very insulated. Not having to deal with the things that you deal with here. He was the man at BYU. We all wanted to make him the greatest thing ever because he threw a 70-yard pass in the combine, which we see 3-4 quarterbacks every year do it. And you got to be built a certain way
take that.
In that market. And he not yet. Now, I'm not going to give up on the kid. I don't think he the worst thing ever, but he's not built for that market and that type of scrutiny that he's going to face not taking ownership.
Right.
And it's the one thing, it came to my mind when you just said, the one thing Eli Manning used to do, and I remember when he was playing for the Giants, the one thing he used to do, because he had so many veterans on that team, Stray and Justin Tuck and all of those guys. Eli used to be like, man, I got to play better. These guys did their job. I got to play better. And not that the New York media didn't rain down on him, but at least they said, man, Eli acknowledged that it was him. And he needed to play better. And that's what Zach missed. Hopefully it's a young thing. And he realized that was an opportunity to miss and they can move forward. But now he's been benched. So now he's about to face some real adversity and see who he is as a football player and a man.
Right. And that's what I worry about, Marcus, because I said to myself, the kid answered a question improperly. In a press conference at 22, 23 years old.
Yeah.
It's a lot that we put on a 22, 23-year-old. This team is 6-4. I mean, nobody gave him a chance to be 4-6.
Right.
And they're 6-4 right now. So you're here. I don't want the Jets to become what the Colts have. And okay, now you let this young talent go. And now you're spinning your wheels because you got good talent ready to win. Now you're trying to go at these old quarterbacks. And, you know, maybe Aaron Rodgers end up there somewhere, somehow. But you know what I'm saying? Boy, if you can grow you a young quarterback and get him in the right place, I can teach him on how to handle these press conferences.
Yes.
I can't just teach a 70-yard throw. I can teach him something. I got to, I hope. But Geno went all as far as the way you can get away from New York, and he's having great success.
Having a great season.
Because they're going to just give him love over there.
Yep.
And I hope this kid, I like that he has fight, because I thought he was fighting the media when he answered that question.
Uh-huh.
I ain't going to let y'all win. Instead of fighting for his teammates and saying, I got to fight for my I'll let y'all get this win. Yes, yeah. I got to play better because I need my teammates to hear that. That's where he went wrong.
He missed it. And I said, like, it was reported that he apologized. And I tweeted out, that's a step in the right direction. And I tell people, you know this, man, the locker room is such a fragile place when it comes to honesty and truth. Mm-hmm. Like, I can be okay with you a day later after you got in my ass about playing bad.
Right.
Right. But I can't be with you if you go tell the public that you and I had an argument that I was playing bad. That takes a little bit longer.
Right. Right.
And I thought that was the only thing. I said, man, if you go in the locker room and you acknowledge, hey, fellas, I got to play better. That's on me. Right. And after just saying that in the media, they'd have been over that thing before everybody got out of the locker room.
Because they know that when they know what you said to them is okay, and you
had way more important.
They would have got it. You were just fighting the media. You already gave us the real. You're so right, Marcus.
I think. Look, I don't know if Zach gonna be good or not. I know he got some talent. And a lot of this stuff, you know, is about being in the right situation as a young player. But I think he'll be okay, man. I mean, but we about to see, Irv. We about to see if he got the right mindset for this.
We about to see. Marcus, I know at 10:45, I got to let you get out of here, man. But I love talking to you, my brother. You know I can talk to you forever. Marcus, tell me one last thing, Marcus, before you go. Yeah. Where do you want to take this, Marcus? You got so many gifts, so many talents. I remember telling Stephen A., when we first started in his business, he had all these ideas and plans where he wanted to go and what he wanted to do. And he's walking that out.
Walking
it out. And I tell God all the time, man, thank you for letting me see journeys and other people's lives.
Yeah.
They told me where they wanted to go. And I got to see that they're going. You know what I mean? That's inspiration. Yeah. So I can tell that to other people, man, you got so many gifts and talents, man. Where do you want to take this thing ultimately? Just tell me that, and then I'm going to let you get out of here.
Irv, ultimately for me, man, I want to eventually be able to have my own show. And I want to bring people like yourself on. And we have these type of conversations as opposed to the 3 to 2 minute clips where we can't really get into it. And then the other thing, man, I want to be on one of these pregame shows. And I don't know which one, I just know that leading into a Sunday on the NFL, I watch you and your guys on NFL Network. I watch the Fox crew. I watch our Sunday countdown crew, our Monday countdown crew. And to me, like the elements, I want to be in the elements, so that's the next phase of where I want to do. And then too, man, I want to do some stuff behind camera. I want to tell some people stories. And produce and be able to tell stories about people that, you know, that could have had a chance or that had a chance and lost it, or the success stories of NFL players, NBA players after they get done. Like nobody telling our stories, or everybody loves to say that NFL players go broke 3 years after being out of the league. That, you know, we hear about the stories when guys aren't doing well. But, man, we got CEOs. We got Fortune 500 company guys that came out of the NFL. We got guys running hedge funds. We got guys doing open heart surgery. We got, like all of that. You got guys like you and I in the media that's thriving and having successful careers. And I just don't see enough people telling them stories. So that's something I want to do too, man.
And keep telling those stories, man. As the Bible says, God's still writing the Bible. We just got to keep telling the stories.
Keep telling those stories,
my brother. I appreciate you, Marcus, man. I really enjoyed this conversation, man. I'm so glad we got the time, man. Thanks for joining MIP, my brother.
You know it, big dog. It's an honor, man.
All love, brother.
All right, brother.
Thanks for downloading the MIP. Check out new episodes of the Michael Irvin Podcast every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com. Today. That's Geico.com.
Hey, everybody. Ryan Leaf here. We are about to drop 3 bonus episodes for my podcast, Bust, the Ryan Leaf Story, the most honest, transparent, and vulnerable podcast you will hear. Me in front of a microphone taking you through the start to the finish right here on Podcast One.